You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
It's a big swallow to admit that you have been wrong.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour.
Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded copy of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Dr. Oswald Hoffman, regular Lutheran Hour speaker. We pray that this message will bring hope and joy to your life.
Lord God, by the gift of your Son, Jesus, by his bitter death in all innocence upon his cross, by his swallowing of death and his victory over death, by the power of your Spirit and the gift of life through faith in Jesus Christ, forgive our sins and give us life, even as we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. What people seem to be looking for is beautiful religion with beautiful worship and a beautiful God who does everything beautifully. It is not a beautiful world. What is beautiful, people are disposed to pollute, exploit, and destroy. Strife and conflict are all over the place. Hatred and jealousy are the order of the day. Much as all of us would like it to be otherwise, you are more likely to be hurt than to be helped by the world around you. There's a lot of dirt. It is not good, clean, earthy dirt, but the dirty dirt humanity produces and promotes and proclaims to be enjoyable. Not into that other world we would like to dream of, but into this dirty world in which we live. God sent his well-beloved and holy Son. He was innocent, but not naive. Still, the dirt of the world surprised him. He could not believe that religious people could be so self-righteous, so pretentiously pious, and so blatantly dirty as he found them to be. He knew all about the wicked who have no pretensions left, but the righteous he described with indignant anger as whitewashed tombs, pretty on the outside, but filled with dead men's bones inside. The pretensions of the world are pure pretense. The ambitions of the world to save itself with all of the fine talk about the progress of civilization are futile fol-de-rol. The organization of humanity without a renewal of spirit from within always turns out to be selfish and self-serving underneath its saintly look. Into this world, God sent his Son, a man among men, a human being, to share our whole humanity, offering himself not as a paragon of virtue to be followed by virtuous people, but as the savior of all the lost ones in this lost world of ours. Among the lost ones of the world, he was not lost. With sinners, he was quite at home. For the poor in spirit and those of a contrite heart, he had a good word. Yours, he said, is the kingdom of heaven. To the mournful, he promised, you will be comforted. For those who hunger and thirst after righteousness instead of proclaiming their own virtues, he had a great word. You will be completely satisfied. To people who saw him on the cross that day, he looked anything but beautiful. Only one saw him as beautiful that day. His Father. for whom the Son grew up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground. In the eyes of people, then and now, there was no attractiveness in him at all. Nothing to make them want him. What the prophet Isaiah predicted came true. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. We turned our backs on him and looked the other way when he went by. He was despised, and people did not care. He was anything but beautiful that day. Yet surely he bore our sorrows and carried our griefs. The world thought his troubles were punishment from God for his own sins, but he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. He was chastised for our peace. And with his stripes, we are healed. None of his men, who were with him practically every day for 3 years, ever bothered to give us a really good description of his personal appearance. We do not know whether he was short or tall, or even whether he had a beard. It really does not matter, they seem to say. But what he was and what he did overwhelmed them. He was despised and rejected of men. He was spit upon and abused by people. He was anything but beautiful that day to anybody except his father. He had a father whom he knew well and talked to often. He went his father's way, not like all of us who, like sheep, are always going our own way. All we like sheep, said the prophet, have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. From prison and trial they led him away to his death. Yet who among all those people realized that he was dying for their sins, taking their sins into his own heart? For the transgression of my people, said the prophet, was he stricken. Like a criminal, he was buried in a rich man's grave. But he had done no wrong, and not a deceitful word had ever escaped his mouth. It was the Lord's good plan to bruise him and to put him to grief. He was as attractive as the shorn sheep. Like an outcast, he was cut off from the land of the living. He died, and that's anything but beautiful. It was anything but beautiful until 3 days later. What people saw on the day of his crucifixion was a good man beaten and bloodied, his face so marred and his figure so fractured that you could hardly recognize him as a man. This is the man, as Pilate said. 3 days later, he made even far-off nations and their rulers sit up and take notice. Isaiah said they shall stand dumbfounded, speechless in his presence, seeing and understanding what eye has not seen and ear has never heard before. He's like the fireman whose face was burned so badly from fighting a tremendous fire that people don't like to look at him, even today. But he did rescue a woman from that burning building, and the disfigurement of his face somehow never has repelled her. Every time she looks at him, she sees herself in that face and in those brutally burned hands. She sees herself in that anything but beautiful face and in those brutally scarred hands that carried her to safety. The pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hands, said the prophet of the suffering servant. By his experience, my servant will justify many as they are counted righteous before God, for he shall bear their iniquities and their sins. I count him great, said the prophet. He shall divide the spoil with the strong. He poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors. He bore the sins of many, and he took their place to plead their cause before God. In death, Jesus Christ took the last swallow of his life. He swallowed death itself. It wasn't the cheap wine they gave him just before he died. He took that too, as dying men do who are thirsty. It was the last gulp before the big swallow. crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me, as men do who are dying alone, all alone? He gave a stentorian cry. It is finished. I wish I could tell you what went on there, in the inner recesses of his spirit, behind the curtain, so to speak, of eternity. But his father was satisfied. In the travail of his soul, Jesus Christ himself was satisfied. It was finished. Life was not done. Death was done. In that anything but beautiful death of his, death was done. That's good news, and that's beautiful. The first swallow of the man from the tree in the middle of the garden brought death through an act of deliberate disobedience. The last great swallow of the Son of God, the second Adam, has brought acquittal and life to all men. It's hard to believe that death could ever be swallowed up like that in victory. It's the same death that dogs our trail from conception of a human being to the moment he's carried in his coffin to his grave. That death, whose sting is the condemnation of God, is done. Jesus Christ took death and swallowed it like the bitter herb it is. He took your death as he took mine. He took your sins as he takes mine. And he offers you today, by his victory over death, the gift of forgiveness and life. How do you get that gift? By accepting his offer. You don't have to accept the offer, of course. Nobody's going to force you to do it. God does not impose himself on anybody. But he is talking to you today. A well-known man in the United States who was convicted of a crime was asked by a reporter whether he would accept a pardon if it were offered. The man said he would want to think about that. The acceptance of a pardon would mean that he was guilty of the wrong for which he was being pardoned, and of which he still hoped to be able to clear himself, to save himself, in other words, by some other means. People turn down the gift of forgiveness all the time. A man does not want to be forgiven by his wife. She needs to beg his pardon, he says, more than he needs to be forgiven by her. Maybe, and maybe not. But it's so much easier to try to justify yourself than to accept forgiveness, which is an admission of being wrong. Even forgiving yourself is an admission that you've been wrong. That's a big swallow, to admit that you've been wrong. It's the first step to the biggest swallow you will ever make in your whole lifetime. That's the swallow of faith in Jesus Christ. You accept his offer of forgiveness and life the moment you accept him. St. Paul said, everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord and believes that God raised him from the dead shall be saved. On the third day, God raised that anything but beautiful man to life again, with a wound still in his hands and feet. By the glory of his Father, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead and declared to be the Son of God with power. Good Friday was not the end of the story. It had a little note on it from God, to be continued. Out he walked on the third day, right through that boulder-blocked entrance to his grave. The universe pulses and throbs today with the hoofbeat of the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, the Son of God going forth, conquering and to conquer, liberated from death, with the wounds of it still in his hands and feet, and the mark of the spear in his side. The Son of God goes forth to war for all the saints who see themselves for what they are, sinners, saved by the grace of God. On that anything but beautiful day, by that anything but beautiful silent sufferer, despised and rejected of men, to give struggling people what he always promised, rest. Come to me, he said, all you who labor and are heavily weighted down, and I will give you rest. It is the rest of the children of God, not the rest of the grave, but the rest of life that is truly eternal. Life here and now, and life there and then. St. Paul calls Jesus Christ, crucified, risen again, the first fruits of those who slept. He's like the first ear of corn, ripe in the field. When you see that ear, you can be sure of two things. The rest of the crop is going to ripen, and that ripening is just around the corner. Around that corner is a vast crowd, too great to be counted, of all nations and kindreds and peoples and tongues, shouting with a mighty shout, "Salvation comes from our God upon the throne and from the Lamb." The victory feast has begun. Salvation from our God who sits upon the throne and from the Lamb. Without a word about his disgrace, without any attractiveness in him except his obedience, his unswerving obedience to his Father, on behalf of all of us disobedient sons and daughters of our Heavenly Father, Jesus Christ just swallowed death whole. Because of him, the saying has come true, and its truth will be apparent to everyone. Death is swallowed up in victory. The sting of death is that sin which remains unacknowledged. And the strength of sin is the law of God that drives the sharp knife of guilt into our very souls. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory, literally gives it to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept him, my friend. Let him be Lord in his anything but beautiful death for you. He swallowed the bitterness of death for you. Now you, in him, swallow life like a ripe strawberry. Amen.